Thank you, Pastor Tim. Thank you for your church to allow me to come to share with you. I must warn you, my English is not very well nowadays because I've been speaking in Mandarin most of the time for the last 25 years. So bear with me if I make mistakes. And of course, I always blame COVID. You know, once in a while I would have brain fog. And so, you know, when I, thinking, you know, what happened. So anyway, I've been working with, for the last 3 years, I've been working with Ukrainians mostly, and I'm living in Ukraine too. I just wonder if there's any Ukrainians among us. Is there a family here? Oh, Slava Bohu. I don't know Ukrainians very much at all, but coming to church, I will hug with brothers, and we always say Slava Bohu, very first thing, and they will hug me and embrace each other, and that means glory to God or praise God. Ukrainian Christians, they don't say glory to Ukraine. They would say always give glory to God, our God. So, Slava Bohu. Can you say it? Slava Bohu. Slava Bohu. Or in the old way, Slava Bogu, right? Yeah, but Slava Bohu nowadays. I want to share from the passage of Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1, if you don't have it in the slides, then I'll just read it to you. How's that? Okay. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4 to verse 8. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." "Ah, sovereign Lord," I said, "I do not know how to speak. I am only a child." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say I'm only a child. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you, and I will rescue you," declares the Lord. This passage actually came to me early in the days of my Bible college years, actually the very first few classes, and it became an encouragement to me, these verses, because as a child, since I was a child, I'm a shy person. I do not like to speak in front of people. I've been serving the Lord for 40-some years, but until maybe 10, 12 years ago, my legs started to stop shaking when I stand up here. So it's just the nature of me. I'm afraid of people. I'm shy. If I have a chance to avoid people, I will avoid. But I don't know how God called me as a pastor. I have to meet people, have to speak to people, have to share among people. And coming to this church without a pulpit, it's hard. Used to, actually. I'm quite comfortable now. But I thank God for this passage. God called Jeremiah, but he kind of refused. He has excuses. "Oh, I'm young. I don't know how to speak." But God says, I formed you. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. And also he said, I'll be with you. I'm with you, for I am with you. Do not be afraid of them. I don't know what happened, but I'm sure he has excuses. But I do believe as he grew up in the family, he has lots of struggles. As some of us here, or some people that you know who are not here today, or you haven't seen them, they grew up with you in church, but they are not here today. Because they have seen how church operates. Jeremiah is the son of a priest at that time. Priests are not like prophets. Priests are daily work, lots of work. And part of their work, of course, to me is enjoyable. They're in the choir. I like that. But here, God sends him to difficult people, or even his own people, Jewish people. They worship God. They don't worship God anymore. They worship false idols. And that's why they were exiled to first to Assyria and also later on the nation of Judah. They were exiled to Babylon. But prophets like Isaiah, Jeremiah, and even before that, way before that, Moses, already long time before Jeremiah's time, if you don't follow God, if you worship other idols, following the other people's religion, then you will one day be exiled to faraway land. Difficult people to work with, and it's not easy. Being a pastor or missionary is not an easy job. People might, every Sunday they might say hi to pastor, line up to shake hands with pastor, and it's not a glorious thing to do job or career. It's difficult because it involves spiritual realm, the dimension. A lot of time, Satan's don't like us to be serving our Lord Jesus Christ. A lot of attacks, spiritual attacks. So, it's reasonable. To me, it's very reasonable, especially when he would say, I'm only a child. I don't know how to speak. I cannot identify with him. It's not easy. For me, it's not easy for me as a young person. When I first came out, I'm in my mid-20s. I was just a young man. Don't know very much. My pastor would only allow me to speak once every 6 months. But they would invite their elders to speak, right? At least once a month, he would arrange an elder to speak. And of course, now I can understand, because I was really, really young. I don't have too much life experience. I was criticized of my message, Yes, they know I prepare well, but there's people, when I speak, people would, this is slap, it's very embarrassing, but I get used to it, Actually, I don't mind, people, after working in a small church, I realized, we're not like your church, big church, you have different program for children and Sunday schools, and they have, you have people looking after. But for a small church, we don't have a lot of people to taking a lot, you know, taking care of them. So they will run around in worship service. And I don't mind. Wow, you know, we're old people. We don't make noise, but I like noise. I don't mind, you know, they come in and say, Mom, I need this, I need that, you know. That's life, that's future. That's our future. You know, some when young kids there, they sit, you know, in my second church, when I served there, you know, one time I one of the missionary, one missionary came to share with us in our worship service, a small congregation, but so I invite all the children above any kids about 7 years old would come to my service, and I would preach to them. And of course, they fidgety, you know, they play, they fight. But that missionary told us, oh, don't mind them. They are, you know what? They are the perfect candidate for future missionaries. Right? And it's true. Many of my classmates, they're really study for the Word of God and doctrines and really good academics. But very few of them went to the mission field. I'm not saying, you know, that I don't have any prejudice, you know, against academic people. But it's the children that have energy. They dare to climb up and down. They're perfect candidates. So don't stop them. That's why Jesus, don't stop them, right? Because they were making noises. Love children. Well, and Jeremiah went to suffer. He was a crying prophet. He wrote also another book right after that, Lamentations. He was a crying prophet because he was a suffering prophet. People beat him up. People put him inside a well underneath, and he was a prison. It was in prison, basically. But what I'm trying to say is he is the song that you sing, Surrender, right? Surrender. He is a 顺服怎么说 in English. My wife is a translator. 顺服怎么说英文? Submissive. Yeah. She is a qualified interpreter, and she works as an interpreter before. So, and I trained him. I trained her in some ways. Yeah. Anyway, he is a submissive person. He's submissive to the will of God. He is submissive to God. You know, many of us in the old days, not many years ago, our seminary or our Bible college, you know, they always teach us new things, invent new things, invent new gadgets, new whatever. Years ago, they invent bus ministry, right? Every church has buses, and then when the buses broke down, they pay a lot of money for the repair, and there's no more bus ministry, right? And then they said, you know, they now teach leadership, right? We have to be leaders. Pastors has to be leaders, and I agree, and I study leadership. I went to university program, master program, I didn't finish. But it's good for me. I learned some of the things that I need to learn, because now I have to admit, I'm not a good leader. I'm not a good leader. I don't have visions. I don't know how to plan for next 5 years, 10 years. What is your plan? Often people ask me, oh, I'm sorry, I don't know. And the, you know, the leadership theory, they change too, right? You heard about, you know, aqua something leadership. You know, it's like water, because the world is changing. We cannot plan for 10 years, we're now not even 5 years, because the world is changing every day. So we need to be, it's almost like Bruce Lee, right? Have you heard some of his clips? We must be like water, right? Yeah, that's very true. But what I want to say to you is not everything that you learn you need to follow. You have to be reflective. You have to think through that. Some of the things, they may not be what God's will. What is the God's will? What is our vision? It is following Jesus' vision statement, right? His great commandment. Right? We have to go, but the most important thing is lead everybody to follow Jesus Christ, to be a follower of Christ, to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Everything, when you do that, everything will fall in place. That's what I've experienced in the last 3 years. Finally, I know. I understand. Some of you may not have heard my story yet, the Chinese, because some of the media, after the war started, I went back into Ukraine knowing the war is going to start. I know we Canadians don't like Trump, right? Nowadays, we don't drink Americano, we drink Canadian something, Hano, right? We don't like America. We don't like Trump, right? But you know what? More than three years ago, I watched the news. The American spies, they know from the far above, they saw 100,000 troops in the border, Ukrainian border. I know the war is going to start. And actually, the day before I went into Ukraine, I bought the ticket. Many people asked me not to go. My wife asked me not to go. My mission director asked me not to go. Don't go in there. And then my church, of course, asked me not to go. Actually, but I went into. The day before, the night before I went into Ukraine again, one Polish friend asked me to come there to join him for a dinner. So I went. And as soon as I went into the restaurant door, he said, Pastor Roger, you have to believe in me. You have to believe me, because Putin will attack Ukraine. I said, oh yeah? But I bought my ticket. I'll go anyway. Afterward, I thought about that, because I said, oh, wow. He may know something I don't know. Because he works in the embassy before in some countries as a Polish, embassy in Poland, in some countries. So he must have inside information. But I went in anyway. I went in there and meet people, meet my Chinese churches, and I I said, I'll be with you, just like 2 years ago at the time when the COVID started. I was over 65. I was 65. I told them story about, a Chinese pastor in Warsaw. He died of COVID. He was just a young 30-year-old. He left Poland already for Germany. He worked among students there, but he had to come back to Poland to do some documentation. But within 1 week, when he contracted the COVID to just 1 week, he died. That was terrible among the Chinese community. They said, why your God is so powerful but cannot even rescue or save your pastor? The first time I went there at COVID, I told them I'll stay, even though they were actually afraid of me dying there too, because I was over 65 then. But I said, I'll be with you. I'll go through this difficult period, and nobody knows how long it will last, right? SARS lasted only a few months, right? But it lasted 2 years and more, right? Last year, I think I contracted it again in summertime. But anyway, I went in there, stayed for COVID time. I stayed for 5 months and two more months in Poland. And this time, you know, even actually COVID time, the government asked us to go back. We sent airplanes to pick you up. But I said, I won't. Because at the time when all the noises told me I need to go, I read the Word of God. I was leading Bible studies in Isaiah chapter 30, I think. You have to be quiet. You have to quiet down, right? You have to listen to God. Don't just go over Egypt to seek help here and there. Seek God. Seek God. So I listen to him, and I pray, and I read the Word of God, the Word of Esther. Remember Esther? The people will die. Mordecai said, if you don't, you know, God will raise other people up. But Esther said, after thinking through it, she said, if I die, I die, in the older language. If I perish, I perish. And then I read the book of Romans, chapter 14. Paul says, if we live, we live for Christ, right? If we die, we die for Christ. Usually pastor would preach the first half. Nobody likes to preach the second half. We die, right? But this is, I finally understand. Actually, the time, 2002, 1 month before the war, I was walking. I always like to walk in the marketplace and take a look at people's face. Are they afraid? Are they worried? Are they sad? I don't see that. But suddenly, a picture came into my mind. Actually, it was just a memory of my Bible school days. Every day, almost from Monday to Friday, we have chapel time, and following that, we have prayer time. And then after the chapel, we all leave, just like these big doors. and above the doors, the door, one of the door, it says there is a motto of our school. It says, training disciplined soldiers for Christ. At that time, suddenly I realized, as a missionary, as the Bible teaches, we are soldiers for Christ. We are soldiers, especially being a missionary. We need to be courageous at this time. Death is a responsibility of being a soldier. So I said, praise God. I can identify with people. I can, like Esther said, I can die. But you know what? As soon as I accepted that death is part of my responsibilities, then the fear is gone. There's no fear. Today, last year, I moved back to Ukraine. Yes, there are other stories. I won't try to tell you right now. You know, as I was one of the refugees too, because I have to line up for 12 hours outside on the last day of February. It's still quite cold, -3 degrees. There's nothing here, of course, -4. But you have to understand, it's almost like Vancouver, right? It's cold. It's wet, you know, air, because we are close to the Black Sea. It's very cold. Plus wind. It was very cold. Standing there, lining up there for 12 hours. It's not easy. And I also went through the border of Hungary too. That night we have -8 with snow. It was even colder. I only stood there for 9 hours, but almost killed me. It was very, very cold. I'm skinny. I don't have very much protection. And I couldn't bring any much. But anyway, make the story, we'll fast forward. Ever since I came out from Ukraine, I said, now, what do I do? I don't have Chinese church to pastor. I don't have any way to speak, to preach. What do I do? People asked me to go to visit Ukrainian churches. I said, okay. And then I went. Immediately, I understand. That's where I should go. That's where I should go. Help them out. You know, the churches, God had prepared them, the Ukrainian churches, to come out to Poland. They started many churches, whether it's their Baptist church or Pentecostal church. I want to say that the somebody said, okay, Pentecostal churches. God had prepared pastors there to start churches. Many churches are started. Even after the war started, I witnessed before the war, one of the Baptist church I visited only have 45, 50 people, and part of them are Russians because their language, many of the Ukrainians had to learn, right? Had to speak Russians. So they worship together in peace. But after the war started, I visited the church, the Baptist church again. It became over 600 people. And many of them became Christians. Because many of them, they believe they are Christians already. When they were born, they are Christians. They have eternal life. But when the war started, they, begin to question God. How come our God is so powerful? How come He is so loving, but He allows us to suffer? How come our relatives died? How come our houses are broken, are being bombed? They. And then, of course, when they come to church, when they come to the center, a lot of the world's concern, especially Canadians or Americans, they give a lot of materials and money too at the time. Food, they came to church, the center, Christian centers, to get food and to, because as refugees, we couldn't bring a lot of things. I only was able to pack a small carry-on and a backpack, small backpack, not like the, you know, those big backpack. That's all we could get. But you know what? Because I make that decision to follow Christ, to help them. Today, while many people forgot about Ukrainian, because one of the things is when people donate, you heard about donation fatigue, right? We just gave, you know, there are so many needs in the world, right? We need to help. And bless you if you help other people. Today, Ukraine still in war. People are dying. Oh, when I say soldiers are dying, of course, not only Ukrainian soldiers are dying, but Russian young people, they're almost 3-1. How can you fight 3 people in the street by yourself? It's very hard, very difficult. It's fighting a very, very difficult war, Ukrainians. But Christians, leaders, Ukrainian Christian leaders, they said they have visions. They said one day when the war stops, we'll continue to do mission work. We'll send mission. The very first action is they're planning is to start churches in Russia. Naturally, they don't like to do this, but they want to obey the Lord, submissive to the will of God. I did the very same thing. I said, I'm not a very visionary person. But in my first 6 year of ministry, I served in an Alliance Church in Vancouver, the Chinese Alliance Church. Pastor Augustus Chow, I don't think anybody know him, but he used to pastor in Regina too, right? He was one of the very first Chinese pastors. So I had but after 6 years, almost 6 years of between the fifth year and 6 year, the Lord spoke to my heart and said, you need to serve the poor people. To serve the poor people. And then I left the church. I resigned from the church. I began to serve a small church of around 25 people. 25 people. Of course, we did a lot of children work too. We have over 50. When I say 25 people, I'm referring to adults. But sometimes over 50 children. I knock every door in my area. They send the children to our church. I pick them up. And I submitted to the Lord's will to serve the people. The third church I went to was a Mandarin-speaking group within a historic church, which is over 100 some years old now, in Vancouver. Only 45 people. But I continue to serve these Chinese. These Chinese are different from the Chinese immigrant now. They were poor back then. They were refugees, claimants. I served them. And I served them with joy. Actually, that church, I served only 4 years, but that is the most happy time in my ministries. We still are friends. When we get together, we still recount some of the things that we did together. I trained them. Actually, in that church, I trained many pastors from seminary. I gave Cary Seminary, the Chinese program. One of the course that they teach was preaching, and they went back to their own church, and nobody allowed them to church to preach. And they asked me, one of them was my member. I said, of course. And then she said, we have about 15 more classmates. Can you allow them to preach here? Yes, I allow them to preach in my small group. But of course, I'm also creative too. I started a Thursday night worship service because then they are not that day, that night they don't have to work, so I invite them to come. So today I'm happy because they are being pastors. One of the pastors, many of the pastors are being, so they can preach so eloquently. Yes, they're from China, and they are missionaries. I am not a visionary, but I want to submit to the Lord's will. I went to the Mandarin Church, I have the experience. I have the opportunity to. I have the opportunity to go to Eastern Europe. First in the southern part, Romania, Bulgaria, Hungary, and so forth. I would travel around. Help the Chinese churches. But little did I know, after I went into Ukraine and come out, and I served cross-culturally with Ukrainians. Today I work with many of them. They were former drug addicts. One of the person that helped me in my daily life because I need to. We don't have luxury of natural gas to heat up your home, right? We don't have. We have to burn woods, right? We have to burn woods. I live in a house, so I need to bring wood into my house, inside my house. And but he would say, oh, I'll help you. I'll help you every day. So he come every day. I'll take him out for lunch or dinner together. And today I can identify with them. They are my brothers and my sisters too. I helped them. 2 years ago, about this time or earlier, one of the pastors came to me and said, Pastor Roger, you know what? We need to train pastors and missionaries quick, in a quick fashion. I said, okay, I'll pray for you. I don't have money, but I said, I'll pray for you. But you know what? Within nine months, we start an academy. Training pastors and Last year, we started another school called Mission School, and we trained 24 graduated this year. A short program, but full program. That's miracles. God still performs miracles today. God answers prayer. I used to read the story of George Mueller, right? About orphanage, how God provides when lunch, they don't know what to put before the children. He prayed, and God provided. And I prayed, nothing happened. I prayed for myself. But since the war started, I pray for Ukrainians. I live in Ukraine now, but fairly safe place in the western part. I didn't have a car, so I walk to town center. I listen to Bible. When I come back, about an hour walk, I walk back and I pray for the church needs. I pray for them. Oh, they need this. They need this. I pray for them. I cry out to God. And God answers prayer. God answers prayer. I'm poor. I'm a poor pastor. My son used to ask me, oh, father, dad, what when you go someday, what will you give me as an inheritance? I said, a lot of debt. Oh, he was so disappointed. But I'm trying to teach him. Somehow we need to trust in God. We need to trust in God for our daily life, for our daily needs. I started to serve the small church, medium size or small, really small church. And of course, I don't have a big salary. I don't have a normal salary. But God provided all these years. I came to Calgary. People wonder why I end up in Calgary. Usually people would climb up the stairs, right? Always look for bigger church, or as laymen, you would look for a bigger company to work in. A bigger city, right? We go to Vancouver, Toronto, Montreal. But I went to Calgary, a small place. And one of the pastors said, he's very suspicious. He sent somebody to Vancouver and to do a background check. And good thing I did not too bad. He said, praise God. I know time is up already. Jeremiah obeyed the Lord. In the same way we need to obey the Lord, we need to obey the Lord. We need to trust the Lord. I know a lot of times we serve ourselves. We go after our own goals, life's goals. We provide, we need to provide. Yes, we need to provide for our families very well. But the Lord says, the Lord Jesus said, He give us life, and life more abundantly, right? I want to tell you is when you submit to the Lord, even though you are poor, you can still live a very abundant life. You can serve people who are poor. You can serve people. And God provide at the same time provide for you. No, I still owe the bank a lot of money. But many Ukrainians at this time are being helped. Of course, I'm doing so little. When I, last few months, I start to meet different missionaries and pastors. And they said they come from smaller towns and villages. And I, at the same time, I read about Jesus' account, right? In Matthew, in the Gospels, he said he went through all the towns and villages. And God touched my heart. I have to go there. Some places are more dangerous, a lot more dangerous. And they said, you know, Pastor Roger, since the war started, nobody helped us in the small villages. Can you come and help me? And I promised, you know, I said, I'll pray for you. And I will, starting from this summer, I will start to venture out. So pray for me, okay? I probably will go with some of the chaplains to go to near the front line. So pray for me. But submitting to God's will. You know, the churches in Warsaw now, they have 20 some, each denomination has 20 some churches now, ever since 10 years ago, about 10 or 12 years ago. It has grown to 12, at least 25 each denomination. And they are planting churches in all over Europe, whether it's Scandinavian or Western Europe or Britain. Whenever they start a church, people will start asking, where is our pastor? Where is our elders or deacons? Because everybody is new Christians. So that's why the pastor asked me, can you help us to start this academy? Now they are training. Last month, they said we're starting a church in Norway. We're sending a pastor there, but we're sending the graduate of the mission school that my mission is supporting. They will send some young people there. You know, in their mission statement, they said, we don't want only the Ukrainians become Christians. They think they are Christians, but they don't have relationship with God. They only go to church once every maybe Christmas or the Good Friday or Easter, right? That's why they believe in Jesus Christ. They said, we will reach out to the Ukrainians, but we will bring the Europeans back to Christ. We're bringing Europeans back to Christ. Many of you, I'm sure you have been visiting, you have gone to Europe. You have visited many gigantic churches, beautiful churches, right? But many of these churches nowadays become pubs and have become apartments. I have met a person, a British person, that went to my church in Vancouver. He said something about his church is, I think, belongs to the Spurgeon. I said, wow, it must be a thriving church. It must be a lot of people. He said, no. That's 20-some years ago. He said, we only had around 60 people. And most of them are all elderly, seniors. There's no future. There's no future because Europeans has abandoned Christ. Europeans have abandoned Christ. Of course, I have many projects that I wanted to do, but only God provide, and then we can do it. As I told you, many of the church's pastors are as a result of a rehab center, a rehabilitation center. In other words, they were drug addicts before or alcohol, drug combined addicts. But they quit in the program, 6-month program, they quit their addiction. Not only quit their addiction, but also become Christians. But the program requires them to serve the Lord in church. After 6 months, they moved to a dormitory in the town center. They continue to serve the Lord. And many, as a result, many of them became Christian. They also received seminary training too, or Bible college training too. One of them is a bishop in Poland, overseeing 25 Ukrainian churches. See, God today is doing revival works, right? For Chinese churches, years and years ago, we said, oh, God is going to pass the baton to the Chinese. We will be the future mission empire. What happened today? What happened to the Chinese? God is working in Ukraine, among the Ukrainian people. I asked the professor that taught Ukraine, the mission school. I said, how do you think about the young people? They're so young. He said to me, oh no, you know what? As I teach, I begin to realize that they have the fire just like 20-some years ago when I was a Bible school teacher, student. See, they are on fire now. What I want to bring to you, to want you to see, God is doing special work these days. God is still living. God is still working today among churches. And God is awakening churches. I went to Japan last year. Japan's churches, many of you know, heard of, you know, in my days, you know, if you have 30 people in the church, it is a mega church back then. Nowadays, it's about 100 people. It's a mega church. You're mega of mega church. But today, some of the Japanese church that I share with some of the pastors, they begin to see the needs of the Chinese workers, or I don't know if they're immigrants, but they are there. Many Chinese are there in Japan. They start to reach out to them, and all of a sudden, they grew to 100 people and beyond. They're mega church now, and other churches following. Other pastors are following, because I spoke to in the church too. Different churches. God is doing in Japan. I wanted to go to Japan before, but God led me to Eastern Europe. God is doing a great thing there. God is still doing his work. But it is us. Can we catch God's vision? Are we willing to submit to God? Are we willing to surrender our lives to God? Everything, our heart, our life, emotions, our future, our goals. Are we willing to pray for the pastors, the missionaries? Are we willing to support them spiritually, but also financially. I don't talk about money usually. But I have to say, these are people you need to, I know one of your missionary in Poland, Don Orr. Have you heard of him? Don Orr? He used to live in Regina and also Vancouver now. Vancouver area. But he went to the mid-Central Asia for the last quite a few years. But he would come back to Poland to do Ukrainian works. Are you willing to give your life to God? I have many stories to tell you, many, many stories, but again, only have time, I already passed my time. I'm not here to raise money at all. I go to churches, that's the first thing I tell people, I'm not raising money. What I want to share with the churches, share with seminaries. Many people are rich today, they can spare money to go to seminary. Rich enough, right? They can go to a seminary. Seminary is not cheap today, but they have money, but they have no goals. They have no passions today. But I want to tell you, God is doing among the Ukrainian churches. And I hope that the same fires, the same passions will come to Chinese churches, especially our English-speaking congregation. I know. We're young, relatively young, right? We can do many things. And I want you to maybe come to Poland. Come to Ukraine too if you're courageous enough. I will take you here and there. No problem for me. It's my joy. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for being with us today. Thank you that the Holy Spirit, I trust that the Holy Spirit is working in our lives, in our hearts. I pray for this church. I pray for every young people here, every person here, that you will speak to our lives. That we need to listen to your words. We need to listen to your voice. We need to pray. We need to understand your will. And most importantly, we need to obey you. We need to submit to your will. Lord, I ask that you will do these things to the people here in this church, whether they speak Chinese, Mandarin, Cantonese, or English, that you will use this church to do great exploit for God, for God's kingdom. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.